This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Let's get to the interview portion of the show, shall we, with Ryan?
Yeah.
Let's make this. It's time for the Yankee Pinstripe Report brought to you by Mazda. Clint Frazier goes 3-for-4 last night. And I just wonder, Ryan, what's his future with this team? Now, it's so easy to say, well, they'll just trade him away. But with Stan's problems, with Judge basically being treated like a China doll at the age of 28, to where you wonder, like, is this somebody that, you know, is going to be a Yankee for the next 7-8 years, considering his age and some of the injuries he's had? Can they really afford to trade this kid away?
Well, first of all, I have to say, I just realized they could have asked RJ about who Rudy stacked. So I'm a little frustrated with myself about that.
But that is tough. It's tough to
I just realized I left a phone a friend.
Would you have known RJ?
On the table.
You know what's troubling? And you can ask Anthony. I actually did know that.
Oh, no, you did?
No.
And also, I happen to know that Ryan Rucco does have Sean Astin in his phone. So his phone a friend could have been the guy that played Rudy.
That would have been. We've never seen that before.
All right, well, you know what? The standings don't matter, so
yeah,
don't worry about it.
All right. I got to come back for more at some point. But to answer your question about Clint, you know, I think that we've seen guys, right, like things end up happening that you don't foresee, and depth is very necessary. And especially in a season where, you know, you can't afford to be trotting out non-major leaguers in your lineup for an extended period of time, you want to have as much depth as possible. And you know, we saw last year, I think, you know, Michael said it the other day, and he's 100% right. I think people underestimated the contributions that Frazier made to the Yankees a season ago. You know, when their lineup was in shambles early in the year, he was winning them games. And so, yeah, like long term, is there definitely a fit in that outfield for him? I don't know. That's a legitimate question. But for this particular season, you know, do I think there should be any rush to deal Clint Frazier? No, because as we've seen already, you know, his bat has already played a role and could play a big role moving forward in a season where, you know, you don't want to get stuck, you know, playing someone who you don't feel like is major league ready for any length of time. And Frazier, we know, is a big leaguer.
And that's the Yankee Pinstripe Report brought to you by Mazda. Discover the family of award-winning Mazda CUVs, including the first-ever Mazda CX-30, the versatile Mazda CX-5, and the three-row CX-9, all engineered to deliver confidence on the road ahead. Visit MazdaUSA.com or see your local Mazda dealer for more details. What do you have, Peter?
I'm just curious to what your take is on generally how the bubble's gone so far in Orlando. Obviously, I know you've been doing WNBA work and watching it from afar and doing your pregame stuff and work for Yes. But what is your take so far? How impressed are you with this Nets team? And what do you expect just moving down the road here in the NBA playoffs?
Yeah, man, I've really loved it. I've loved the, first of all, I think the NBA did a great job with the look and the sound of it. We've been doing our Nets games from Barclays Center, where we will tonight as well. Big, big hour-long pregame starting at 8 and then the game at 9 and against the Blazers, so it should be
big
fun
game
with what Portland's playing for. Big game. Big game on Yes. Big game on Yes. But we, you know, when we sat down the first time, guys, like in that setting, and I put on the headset, and I'm hearing the sounds, and I started calling. It was the Nets against the Magic, their first regular season game of the restart. I was like, oh, my gosh. It sounds like an NBA game in my ear. And watching the games, it's felt that way. You know, I think given the constraints and parameters that the league was given, I do not think they could have done a better job, not only with ensuring the health and safety, which, of course, was the primary focus, but also of creating a product that was as visually and audio that was as stimulating as you're used to with the NBA. So I think it's been great. You know, I think certainly we all miss seeing full stadiums, full arenas. But if there was a television product that has been least affected thus far, I believe, by, you know, just if you look at the way you normally view sports and how it is now, You know, I'd say the NBA is the one that feels like the most normal, or the closest proxy to what we're used to.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Now, Michael was all in on just the Nets losing and falling out of it so that they can get a draft pick or get a lottery pick. And I felt like, listen, you've gone 5 months without basketball. You want to see them do something, and they certainly have. They've played great. I don't know how real it is. I don't know if you're beating the Bucks, if the Bucks needed the game. But they've played well here, and I'm sure they would love nothing more than to maybe hurt the Blazers' chances tonight. But, Wordy, what do you take from it, and what chance do you give them in the first round against Toronto?
You know, what I take from it is, first of all, I always think there's a value in winning games because there is a momentum and there's a cultural effect that I think ripples out beyond just what happens in that given season. You know, if the Nets didn't have the success they had in year three under Kenny Atkinson, they wouldn't have become attractive enough, in my opinion, to lure a Kyrie Irving or a Kevin Durant. You know, the narrative shifted to, wow, the culture was rebuilt, and this team, this gritty team that has this new identity, found a way into the playoffs. It's really up and coming. Like, does that happen if they just, you know, keep their lottery pick and have a terrible season? No, not necessarily, right? And I kind of look at this the same way. You know, I think that it's still good for the organizational culture and the brand to have the success that they've had here in Orlando and to ensure that seventh seed. And I'll feel the same way about that first round playoff series. You know, if they go up against the Raptors and let's say they, you know, they force a sixth game or they play, you know, a very competitive series, even if they don't win. There are some residuals to that, including also, you know, perhaps showcasing some of your young talent, you know, for however your roster is going to be constructed in the future, or guys like Caris LeVert and Jared Allen getting more confidence if they play well in this playoff series moving forward, then, you know, to be able to then handle, you know, what's going to be a brighter spotlight when Kyrie and KD come back. So, and guys, it's also, there are some role players, so who knows? Maybe they've carved out roles in the future, like TLC, Timothée Luwawu-Cabarrot. He looks like a guy who all of a sudden can hit from three and has the length to defend and is athletic. Could he not be the eighth or ninth guy on a really good team? I think he could be, and that might be underselling him. So I think there's value in it. And for me, just personally, it's been fun to see some of these guys who are just scrapping to win an NBA job ball out, you know, like Jeremiah Martin or Chris Chioza. Watching these guys, I'm saying, well, even if it's not with the Nets, they clearly are NBA players. And I always get a kick out of seeing guys who are, you know, taking that step to making their career dreams come true.
And final thought before we let you go on the Islanders.
Oh, man. Hey, Don, I got to ask you, I'm excited. I was into this team, before the pause. And obviously, you have to be delighted with what's happened since. How good should I be feeling?
I think they're winning this series. I picked them in seven, and obviously winning game one where you didn't play particularly well, committing as many penalties as they did. I like it.
Yeah.
You know, this is a team built for the postseason, and you saw it against Pittsburgh last year, and they kind of ran into, I just think, the wrong team and the wrong matchup in Carolina last year, getting swept out in the second round. But I think they learn from that. Goaltending has been tremendous. They've got... Listen, you got to be loving the fact that Toronto and JT are watching this at home while the Islanders have actually gotten better after losing them, as crazy as that sounds.
I definitely am, and I think it's amazing. And I also know that this means that, you know, you and I will be getting text messages from the great Dr. Max April throughout this series as he nervously wonders what will happen with our Islanders.
I've gotten them already, so he's been on top of it all. All right, buddy, stay well. I'm glad everything's going And everything's right as far as like moving forward with their wedding and all that. I know this has all got messed up.
Yeah, man. Yeah, it definitely stunk. We had to, you know, we were supposed to be this June in Italy, and we bumped to next June. But I think we all have this perspective, right? Like, as we've gone through this, if we're healthy, you know, and our loved ones are healthy, then we can deal with anything else. And gratefully, that is the case. So we'll pray for a safe and effective vaccine that's mass produced long before then, so that we can do it for real next summer.
Take care, buddy.
Thanks, buddy.
Thanks. Thanks for having me, guys.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.